G'day everyone and welcome back to the Gold Coast Titans Frontline Podcast. My name is Dane from Clarkey's Rugby League column, here every week with my co-host Blaze, the founder of BKR Sport, to give you your weekly dose of everything Titans. Our aim with this podcast, if you're new, is to capture absolutely everything you need to know around our club this week and last week. Blaze, it is a good time to be a Titans fan, mate. A very, very good week for the club again. How's everything going for you?
Fired up, Sanji. We've fired up. It is an absolutely phenomenal time to be a Gold Coast Titans fan at the moment. If you had told me that after that Tigers game at Leichhardt that we would have been looking down the barrel of actually having a legitimate chance, a genuine chance of making the finals this season, I would have said you're off your rocker. You know, we were both sitting here saying, like, our season's done. Fox League was putting us last. You know, the whole world was a shambles. You know, we had things being thrown at us left, right, and center. And it was the worst time of our lives. And now, like 6 weeks later, we're coming off absolutely flogging the Broncos, also beating the Dolphins, and ending our biggest rival season. So, and whilst keeping our season alive and the atmosphere, I would dead set say on the weekend at CBS Stadium, if you guys were there, you know that was probably the best atmosphere we've ever had. I would say that was the best atmosphere we've ever had at CBS Stadium. Maybe second to Warriors, CBS in the finals of 2010. But with that being said, as I always say, we didn't care as much back then. We care now because we've gone through the long-term years of supporting this club. Now we genuinely do care. And I tell you what, the atmosphere before, during, and after that game, especially with our women's as well, getting the W was just absolutely fantastic. And I'm looking forward to talking about it.
100%, man. And talking about, you know, caring and where we came from. We were actually, I believe, last after that Tigers game. I think we fell to dead last to now being...
Well, we lost to the Rabbitohs who were last, and then we lost to the Tigers who were last. So we lost the last two times in a row. And then funnily enough, yeah, you're right, because we were last, and then we beat the Warriors 66-6 as the last place team.
Yes, and it just shows that a week is a long time in rugby league. Of course, very much week to week for our club at the moment, but to have that opportunity to play finals at the moment is something very exciting for everyone involved with the club. If you are new here on YouTube, please consider subscribing, dropping a like, doing all that good stuff. And if you're listening as a podcast on whatever service it might be, we would also appreciate a rating and a follow there. It helps grow our podcast, which helps grow the frontline, which helps grow our club as a whole. When we go to our Titans news segment, Blaze, only really one bit of news here, and that's that Bo Firmer is expected to miss about a fortnight with a bruised kidney. A big loss, but I'm also excited for someone like Cleese who gets to come back into the starting side. So I wanted to ask, how do you think this affects our team, and are you excited to see Cleese starting as well?
Well, I think that you look at Bowie as an X-factor back rower that can really explode attacking-wise and is also very, very solid defensively. You know, he is a guy that could definitely be playing at the Queensland level, has been selected alongside in the camp last year was his ACL, the year before that. So, you know, Bowie is an X-factor guy that we really do rely upon in that regard alongside Dave Feeder. He is out, so we go to Khalees Haas now, who... is not the X factor that you look for, but is very, very solid defensively. And everyone was loving him in the 13. Everyone loves him in the back row. He does get his opportunity there. And I don't think that we're going to be missing out too much in the defensive department. Maybe you might see a little bit less of the attacking department. But with that being said, I think that Cleese can definitely hold his own. And, you know, he unfortunately got injured. Before that, he was looking fantastic in that 13 role. And then Chrissy Randall's come in and we've gone on this winning streak. So it's kind of, Cleese is the perfect example right now of, and so is AJ, I guess. AJ is another prime example, is that if you get injured, geez, we've got some backups, replacements that are coming in, knocking at your door to come and turn it on, because Keanu Kenny has now, like, he's taken that fullback role absolutely by the horns. And so is, I wouldn't say Bowie, but because Bowie was originally there. But at the end of the day, also it's Chrissy Randall has come into that Khalees position. So, yeah, really exciting time at the club because it is that next man up mentality under Desi.
100%, man. And I actually think that Khalees is going to have a great game. I'm going to tip him for 40-plus tackles. And I reckon he can get close to 100 metres as well. I expect a really busy performance from Cleese because I think he'll be trying to press his case to say, hey, I should still be starting. I'm good enough to still be starting. And, of course, as fans, we believe it because his form prior to that foot injury was awesome. The other component of that is Keenan Palacia joining our bench. And we've been talking about it all season, but it's go time for Keenan. We need him to get back to his best. And he did play really well for the Tweed Seagulls, which we'll recap a little further in the show.
Just on Keenan, before we did move on as well, you know, at the end of the day, when we have a little bit of criticism for players on this podcast and we say that they're not necessarily playing to the standards we'd like them to, that's not us saying that they're not good. That's not us saying that they can't do it. We know that Keenan can do it. He ran the same amount of meters as Peyton Hurst in the grand final last year, right, for the Broncos. But at the end of the day, it's constructive criticism because we want that person. And I know Keenan personally. Like, he's a great bloke. He's a lively character in the club, and you do want that kind of guy around the club as well. Have a bit of fun. But we do have to come out and say sometimes, we need you to be doing more. We need you to be doing more for the club, and we know you can do more. So, yeah, look, it's a great opportunity here for Keenan Palacios, especially against a weakened Sharks team, although they're in the top four, a weakened Sharks team.
Yeah, we've got a big game. We will get to our recap of everything Titans as well as Queensland Cup in a second. We'll give it our 3-2-1s, and then we'll preview everything next round, starting with our NRLW recap. We defeat the West Tigers 28 points to 12 at home. I actually tipped us by 20, and I said Jamie Chapman will score a try, and she did more than score one, mate. A hat trick from our superstar centre. You were at the ground. How was the atmosphere? How was this one to watch?
Well, I will tell you right now, the first half was a little bit, how you going? I was definitely nervous. We didn't really turn up early doors here. The Tigers scored first, and I think it's Lasana Lutu for the Tigers. She's the youngster. Yeah, Lasana Lutu. She's a Fijian halfback. She is really, really young. And I think I was the one I pointed her out last week in the pod saying that she's the one we're going to watch out for. And she was. She was really, really good in that first half. The Tigers got herself a try with some nice little zigzag kind of movement and was setting them up. So, yeah, really good stuff and promising signs for the Tigers' future there. But with that being said, Jamie Chappo, absolutely unbelievable. I don't know if I said on the podcast last week, but I know I said on the vlog on BKR Sports saying, Chappo's going to score a hattie. I said, she's going to score a hattie. And she scored a hattie, baby. So I'm really impressed with that one. I thought that Avanya Politi was fantastic again in this game. Lauren Brown, just unbelievable. I will say, we're 2 weeks in now. I went with Georgia Hale. You went with, was it Chappo for the player of the season? Or who you go with?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, Chappo.
I'm leaning right now that Lauren Brown's looking likely to be the one. I'm leaning right now that based off the first two games here, Lauren Brown is, and off her Origin series as well, Lauren Brown is looking like an absolute, you know, bingo in regards to the best player for our NRLW season. She's absolutely locking up those Dally M points right now. And yeah, she's unbelievable. So really impressive performance, especially in the second half. It was a little bit of a slow start, but we needed to win this game by a big margin, which is what we did. I would have liked a bigger margin, obviously, but we needed to win by a big margin because last year our problem was that we weren't winning games by huge margins. We were winning by small margins, which then meant that we had to travel to Sydney, the Roosters, as the away team. Now, yes, we won that game, but we would have finished high on the table if we had a better points differential. So it was very, very important.
100%, and we have started the year. Really, we couldn't ask for too much more. I think when you look at our first two games, of course, in a perfect world, we would love a few more points, but that's been really picky. Exactly right. We are first on the ladder. I thought in this one, I agree with you. I thought we were a little slow out of the gates, and the Tigers were actually able to take advantage of that and get some early confidence. And, you know, you could look at that as a negative, but I think the silver lining is the way we were able to adjust. And from that point, we did defend really, really well. They didn't score a single point from the 16th minute to the 70th. And I think that is really, really great stuff there. You know, two-thirds of that game, roughly, they did not score a single point. So our response defensively there was awesome. And again, it's one of those things where when I look at sides that are going to be in the finals or expected to contend, I'm always looking for them winning in different ways, right? You don't want to be the team that blows everyone off the park by 30, 40 points every week. And then you get into the finals and you get behind like we did here. And you kind of freak out a bit. You want to experience a range of different ways of winning. And we got to experience that. Lauren Brown, you mentioned her, mate. Another 6 points for her in the Dally M count. So she leads the NRLW outright for Dally M points.
I think she's actually top by like 5 points, by the way. Like, I'm pretty certain that she's on top by a bit.
She is well clear at the top, man. And she looks like every bit to just keep, you know, racking up those points because it was a brutal round performance. Controlled the pace of the game and allowed us to dictate the terms. And I think that's where the switch kind of occurred in this game. You know, the Tigers were able to start fast and we were controlling the pace of the game well enough. And then you've got someone like Lauren Brown with her kicking game, her all-round game management and control. And she really just pulled the reins back a little bit, made us realize, hey, don't freak out. We're a little bit behind. We're okay. Stick to our processes. And before you knew it, that momentum had come all the way back with us. Another person who I thought was particularly awesome is Lily Rose Colk at hooker, because we did have Brittany Brailey-Nartey go down with that shoulder injury, and I thought all of Lily's touches were perfect. You know, she scooted when she needed to and upped the momentum from the ruck, but then when someone dominant like Lauren Brown was calling for the ball, Lily's service was beautiful with great crisp passing. So huge shout out to her.
And again, I'll just jump in there as well with that, with Lily Rose Colk, is that's who I said before the season started that there was a lot of chatter around in regards to the females game from, you know, families and people around the sport that and the community, that Lily Rose Colk was going to have a big season. So that's why I went with her as my youngster. And now, obviously, Sienna Lafippo is I think, well, she's helping round four, and I think I've reconfirmed with her this weekend that it's round four still. But, you know, Colk is doing enough. She's doing enough to maintain her spot in that side. Do you know how long that Brittany Brailey-Nartey injury is? Oh, no, so no injury update yet on Brailey-Nartey.
Yeah, there was no injury update, and then she was named today. So, sorry, yesterday. We're recording on Wednesday. So she was named at hooker for us. So we expect that she'll play. I didn't see any injury update from the club, so it might have just been a burner or a stinger. But we'll follow up if anything happens.
It's interesting to see what they do with the both of those girls there, in Lafippo and Lily Rose Colk, because realistically, you can only have one of the two on the bench there if Brittany Brailey-Nartey is in that number nine spot. Unless you're having, or because you can't put Lafippo into the 13 because Georgia Hale is there. Yep. So, yeah, we're looking at a very similar situation to what we've seen with the men's, in that if you get injured, you've got to kind of work your way back into the side too, maybe. I don't know what Cam Murphy does. Obviously, we trust in what Desi does, and we definitely trust what Cam Murphy does. And you can just see, and this is why I say, you can just sense the vibe and see the actual physical evidence that this club is immediately changing right now. It's changing for the better, that we do have that depth there in both regards, and we do have the ability that if a player does go down injured, we did worry about the depth in the fullback position. But right now, I actually don't even think there's too much worry there, because I can see other girls transitioning there quite easily. And I think that you're seeing, you know, girls like Lily Rose Colk come in and do a job. So really good signs for the club overall.
100%. And I think someone like Sienna Lafippo could still be carried on the bench with Lily. I think it would just mean that instead of being used in that hooker, halves kind of utility, Sienna would need to play more in the middle like she did for Origin Game 2. So she is so versatile that she could still find her way onto this bench, and I think she will. But certainly, I don't think it'll be in a hooker capacity. Lily has absolutely nailed that and locked it down for us. Final takeaway of this one for me, mate. We have a completion rate of 85%. That is, I think, round one, we were up around that mark as well. I just think anytime our Titans NRLW side is up around the 80% mark, I will tip us against anyone in this competition. And the fact that we have had such a high completion rate in the first two games is so pleasing. And I will continue to tip us as long as that continues. That is the key for us, completing at a high rate. And we've just got so much talent that our talent's able to take over from that point. So absolutely fantastic performance. Couldn't be happier.
Before we move into the men's game, just briefly as well, I do want to provide a little bit of a realistic thought process here as well, is that the first two teams who played are the Dragons, who have gone to lose to the Cowboys, and then also the Tigers. So although we are winning right now, we are 2-0, we are first place on the table, we expected this before the season started. We outlined before the season started that we needed to win these first like 3-4 games, because then it does get harder. Now, we do play the Knights at home, we do play the Sharks at home, and we do play the Roosters at home. So all the hard teams that were expected this year, we play them at home, which is great. But at the end of the day, this is all kind of expected right now. So don't go too crazy just yet. I've been confident, and Clark has been confident, that we're going to, you know, be in the grand final and win the cup, and we should be the favourites since before the season started. We've said that, but I just want to also provide that realistic approach there, that there is still a little bit to think about before you start going, oh no, we are guaranteed bolters, like 100% we're winning it, because we've taken on two teams that are expected to finish quite long the ladder.
That's definitely a fair call there, and it just gives us an opportunity, like we called out in the preseason pod, to kind of use these teams we're expected to win to kind of build our form and momentum. So then when we do take on the higher ranked teams that we expect to play in the finals, we've got that momentum behind us. So far it is going to script. Speaking of things that went to script, we defeat the Brisbane Broncos 46 Woo-hoo. Points to 18. For me, I tell you what, mate, this was the greatest, but if not one of the greatest Titans victories
throughout our hold on one second. Okay, you can go on.
Mate, it was spectacular.
go.
It is also our largest ever winning margin over the Broncos. And I think just sensational in every aspect. Now, if I could change one thing from this game, it would be Jaden Campbell's goal kicking. He went 5 from 9, but I'd give him another 2 goals there just to make this a 50 bomb on the Broncos. But I'll tell you what I loved most about this performance from us Blazers, it's not like we came against a Broncos side that was down in the dumps and thought, stuff this, who cares? They came energized. They came full of life. They were up for it. They were around the football. And slowly but surely, we just beat them to a point where we made it too hard for them to compete anymore, and they didn't want to compete. We literally broke them mentally, and that's something I don't think we've ever done to the Broncos before. We've certainly had a lot of great wins over them, but to beat them mentally and break them down to the point where they don't want to compete anymore, that is something that not many teams have actually been able to do to the Broncos this year, despite them not being anywhere near what they were last year. Another thing I took away was how we adjusted to Reece Walsh. As you'll remember in our game against them at Suncorp earlier this year, we had Bo Firma on the centres, Jacob Arlick in the other centres, I believe, and it was Tony Francis injured on that wing, and Walsh was able to take advantage of that early. Now, he scored a double, and he did start this game really well, but again, we adjusted, we shut him down, and we halted their momentum. So that's 2 games in a row now where we've adjusted on the fly to one of the most X-factor players in this competition defensively. I think that's awesome. Only 6 errors throughout the entire game. We controlled the football so well, and we only missed 20 tackles. Now, both of those stats are well below our averages this season, so you can definitely see how much it meant to the boys and the difference there. We actually now have, Blaze, the best completion rate across the entire league. We are outright first on 82% completion. Even the best sides that are first in that are, 81%, 80-ish. So we are right there. Final thing for me, mate, a special mention to Keanu Kinney. Returned from the sin bin, and he returned with the exact same intensity, the same intent, the same confidence. And I think that really rubbed off on the team. You know, as soon as Keanu Kinney was injected back into this game, he didn't wait for the game to come to him. He just went and grabbed it and set up 2 tries straight away. Incredible for someone of his age with, not much NRL experience yet. A very special night I won't forget. And I regret only tipping us by 4, my friend, because you tipped us by 20. And even that was a little bit conservative based on what we saw, mate. How was this one? I imagine the atmosphere was like something we've never seen before.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll talk about the atmosphere and then I'll put the interviews in and then I'll give it a little bit more of a rundown. But the atmosphere was electric. Obviously, winning that women's game first off set the precedent right. And it was a great atmosphere there. And then into the men's game, it was a sellout, which is, by the way, this was our highest crowd since 2008. Is what they were apparently saying. Highest crowd since 2008. So, really impressive on all regards. And I don't think it was a majority Broncos crowd. I'll stand up and I'll say I think it was 50-50. Down the southern end where the away fans usually sit, that was definitely more Broncos. But behind me on the eastern side and also the northern side and then the corporates, I thought it was predominantly Titans fans. And I was really, really impressed by that. And you could definitely tell that by the end of it where these guys weren't leaving. The guys behind me weren't leaving. It was only down that southern end where majority of the Broncos fans were leaving with like 30 minutes to go. We love that. Exactly right. But look, we got into them. I was nervous after the first 15 or 20 or so. I thought, okay, well, the Broncos, they're definitely up for this one. And they fired on. But right now, it was the exact same game as the Dolphins game, realistically. It was the exact same game where you kind of, because of our past, you think we're dead and buried, that we're not going to come back because usually we're the team that teams come back on. But like we both keep saying every single week, we're not the same team of the past anymore. So we have to get that out of our mindset. We need to realize that we are actually a damn well good team and we can come back from anywhere and we are in the game regardless. And, we were down 18-10 at halftime of this game and came and absolutely whooped them and scored 36 unanswered points in the second half. We should have hit 50. We honestly should have hit a 50 bomb. There's no debate about that. I will say the Titans did the exact same thing as the Dogs did in the second half, where they just attacked the wings because the wings were deplorable. Their wings, their defense of the wings is absolutely deplorable. And when you've got a guy like Olofiana Kamperi or Jojo Fifita, who had an absolutely incredible game, man, incredible game. He has come leaps and bounds. He's the most improved player this year at the moment for me. He's been absolutely incredible. you know, when you've got guys of that talent, you've got Phil Sami, you know, you've got BK, these guys that can line up. The Broncos were always going to be, we're always going to get slapped. They're dead set. They're always going to get slapped in that second half with that defensive caliber. One thing I will say, though, BK, on our own 30, at the end of the first half, well, with 5 minutes to go in the first half, do not kick the ball, you know, on the first tackle or second tackle from your own 30. Like, just don't do it. I know it's a hero or zero play, but at the end of the day, it was zero play. So it's not about the what ifs. Don't do it, because then we had Kanakini get binned and also the 2 points against us, which meant that it was 18-10. And I know we came back in hindsight. It's great. At the end of the day, we don't want that. So just one of those real rocks and diamonds kind of things with BK, but he was also, you know, really, really solid outside of that. But yeah, the big shout as well to Kanakini, who went off for 10 minutes and came on and scored in the first like 20 seconds of coming back on, a miraculous try. And then from there, we just absolutely ran through them, man. And the atmosphere just absolutely, you know, pounded them. They pounded the Broncos. And I outlined this before. This is a changing of the guard moment, in my opinion. This is a changing of the guard in Queensland and Southeast Queensland, like a Man City and Man United back in 2011. But you need to have that big result to really establish that dominance that you aren't that team from before, and now you are here. And I think we did that. So before we do move on, I'm going to chuck on the three interviews that we got at the game. We spoke to Lofiana Khan-Pereira, fastest man in the world, Keanu Kinney, and also JC, Jaden Campbell. He was on it, so you guys can listen to that now. With the record breaker, Mr. Lofi, mate, it must feel unreal. One, we flogged the Broncos, keep our season alive, but you broke the record.
Yeah, I'm pretty unbelievable, to be honest. Yeah, I didn't think I was going to get it with JoJo hogging all the tries in the right time. Nah, it's good.
Yeah, well, look, obviously, we keep our season alive now. Now we play the Sharks next week. Are you confident we're still going to keep on that role?
Yeah, 100%, man. We're always keeping, you know, confident into next week.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Well, that was our biggest win ever against the Broncos.
Really?
Yeah. And we ended their season. So,
wow, really?
Mate, we're flying right now. We're flying. Does it feel good, you know, beating a team that has been so good against us for so long, and now we've just gone on a win streak against them?
Yeah, always. You know, like everyone's saying they are big brothers, and you know, we kind of put that. You know, we squashed it today. So
I was scared in the first 10 minutes, but then we flew on.
Yeah.
Just like you. Congratulations on the record, my guy.
Thank you, JC.
We're flying. We're not only flying, we are flying. And you've been a big part of that. How are you feeling?
Nah, feeling good. We just got to keep winning. That's what we're doing.
Exactly right. You know, obviously, you know, you've been a part of the Gold Coast community for a very long time now. Before you've been playing, you know how much this means to us with beating the Broncos as well. Does that really add on to the special win?
Yeah. Like you're saying, we always had that little brother tag, so it's good to beat them.
Well, we've done that two times this year as well. But obviously, you know, we're getting on a bit of a run now. You're confident that we can keep this run going, you know, and really push into that eight. You know, despite our start of our season, they're flying.
Yeah, like you're saying. Like I was saying before, we're just going to keep winning and take it week by week. But yeah, I'm feeling really good.
No, we love you, mate. We love you. Actually, before we go, how you feeling the 5-8? Obviously, you've mixed it up this year.
Yeah, I'm loving it. Yeah. We get to tackle more, so gets me in the game a bit different, but yeah, I'm enjoying it.
We love it. The main man, Keanu. Mate, I tell you what, that was unbelievable. You know, for a Titans fan, long-term Titans fan, like we all are, that was something special. How are you feeling?
Yeah, no, I'm feeling proud. I'm feeling proud for the boys, proud we could do it for the community, and, you know, we keep on going. We're still in the fight, so... yeah, just proud of the boys and what a win against the Broncos here.
Mate, I've been around throughout this entire time, and I can tell you, you can just feel how chuffed you are.
Yeah.
You know, you can feel how positive the vibe is right now. Do you think this is really going to carry us on throughout the rest of the season?
I think so, bro. Like, there's a different vibe around the club. I think you guys can feel it too. So,
absolutely.
We just have to keep it going now, be consistent, and finish strong so we can make the eight. We believe it, man.
And you went Dally and fullback of the year, what?
long way to go, bro, long way to go.
But you have been doing some really, really good work in that fullback role. Obviously, you know, the bin did happen today, but you came back on, you scored literally immediately.
I know. It was crazy, but
I
just tried to buy some energy off when I came back on. I owe the boys, so yeah, I was glad it happened.
And the atmosphere, what do you think?
Oh, man. One of the biggest crowds since 2008, so...
Was it?
Yeah, that's what they said.
Wow, that's crazy.
Play in front of that crowd, in front of you guys, can feel you guys, the energy, and wow, loved it.
So that was their thoughts. Obviously, that was great. You know, great to talk to those boys after the game. They're all still very, very confident of playing finals football. And I don't think we could be any less confident as well. You know, it's a really big time for the club. So, yeah, as you said, a very special victory. I genuinely believe that was the best atmosphere we've had at Seabus, and we just need to go again against the Sharkies this week.
Yeah, man, we've got to get it done. We've got to keep winning. It is as simple as that. Let's talk 3-2-1s, mate. I'll go to you first. I think I know who you're going to say. Who gets your 3 points from this game?
Oh, my goodness me. You know who I'm going to say, Zad. You know who I'm going to say. It is the Special K, Keanu Kenny, son. He was absolutely unbelievable. Like I said just then, for you to be sin-binned in this game and then to come back and still be arguably, well, from what we're all seeing from all content creators across the game who aren't even Titans fans, everyone's having him as the best player of the round. They're saying Keanu Kenny was the best player of the round. He scored 2 tries in this game. He ran for 202 metres with 39 post contact. Had a line break assist, 2 try assists, 5 tackle breaks. He had an offload, 5 tackles, and no missed tackles. And no ineffective tackles as well. So he had literally the perfect game besides that bin. And again, he was off for 10 minutes. So an incredible performance there from Keanu. And I've got to say it, I just can't see Keanu being moved out of the fullback. I don't think it's possible.
Well, that was actually what I was going to say. My 3 points goes to Keanu Kenny as well. And, you know, I could read off a bunch of stats. I could say anything right now about how fantastic he was. But what I will say is he's now my fullback. Sorry, JC. Sorry, Brimo. I've been on the train for so long that there is a pecking order at clubs that must be respected. But to give an example from another club, Ryan Pappenhausen, he was coming off the bench for the Storm and Jerome Hughes got injured at fullback. Ryan Pappenhausen ended up taking over the fullback role and Jerome Hughes was transitioned to a halfback. We've seen Jaden Campbell transition to a 5/8. I don't know where Brimson is going to transition to, but I think it's gotten to that stage as well. Obviously, it's a huge debate to be had, but that's my opinion now, and I am changing up what I've said in previous pods. I'll go with my 2 points, mate. It was JoJo Fifita, 3 tries scored, 3 try assists, and this also shows how good Kenny is. JoJo Fifita would have to be the first person in Titans history to score a hat trick and set up 3 tries and not be given the 3 points. Like, seriously, I'm not even joking with that. You go back to 2007, I don't think any player would not have got the 3 points that had that stat line that JoJo and the impact he had. So I thought he was brilliant, mate. I agree with you. He's been our most improved player this year. And we actually weren't really predicting it in our preseason predictions, I don't think, because we thought our Sammy would be on that other wing and Brimson would be in the centres for a lot of this year. JoJo is another one of those players, mate, where you can't justify moving him anymore. He is our winger. JoJo was brilliant, mate. It was so fun to see him tear up that right wing. And he gets my 2 points. Is he going to get yours as well?
He's getting my 2 points. Big JoJo. And this time, I think I've done it twice this year where I've changed my selection of him on the points. This time, I'm not going to be changing it. He definitely does deserve the 2 points here. He was absolutely incredible in this game. As you said, 3 tries, 3 try assists. He was phenomenal. And defensively, did not miss a tackle as well. And there was no ineffective tackles as well. So, JoJo Fifita has become leaps and bounds as a player in 2024. He really has bought into the Desi mindset, the Desi attitude. And we knew this is what was possible from JoJo. We knew he had a massive potential. His father, by the way, played for Tonga in the Rugby Union International. Like, his family is all. He's got a ridiculous. I was talking to Amy, his mum, about this the other day at the game. And, you know, she said, oh, no, what was it? So her son is coming up, Viliami. He's like 16 years old, Viliami Fifita. They have a daughter who's also killing it in Women's Rugby League as well. Then they've got JoJo, obviously. Pila Fifita was a part of the Tonga national team in rugby. And I think we asked her, like, how do you do it? And Amy says, it's because I'm a good cook. And fair enough, you know, you know, fair enough. She must be a good cook with her family because they are an incredible family. They're so nice and so lovely. And it's so good to see that JoJo is starting to really receive the rewards for the efforts that he's been putting in over the years. Last year wasn't necessarily his best year, but now he definitely is coming on towards being, you know, one of our best players in the back line. So, yeah, definitely gets my 2.
I agree, man. And just on JoJo and the Fifita family real quick, when we've gone to these Melbourne and Sydney Titans membership functions post-game, the family's always there. So they're actively involved with the fans of the club as well, which was awesome to see. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and tell me, mate, who is going to get your 1 point? I think we had a different 1 point this week.
Yeah, we did have a different 1 point this week, but I can definitely understand where yours is coming from. But I just, I've got to shout him out. Philip Sami is my 1 point. He has come back from injury and he has been crushing it. He scored a try in this game. He ran for 181 metres with 53 post contact. He had 2 line break assists, had a try assist in this game, 2 tackle breaks. He had 2 offloads, and he had 11 tackles for no miss. So you look at the back line of the Titans here. Kanakini, 5 tackles, no missed. Then you go to Loffy, 2 tackles, 2 missed, 1 ineffective. BK, 12 tackles, the most tackles, but also 5 missed tackles. Then you got JoJo, 4 tackles, no miss. And then you go to the halves where it's going to be different. Philip Sami in that 1-5, 11 tackles, no missed, is absolutely phenomenal work there that is really necessary. And I just think he's come back as a beast. I think that every week that I'm seeing him, he's just proving again and again and again that he is such an electric talent. And I saw, obviously, content creators around also saying that he wouldn't look out of place in the Queensland lineup again. And I don't disagree. I would not say that Sami would look out of place there for Queensland. So he's been there before. Wasn't the greatest, but he could definitely do it again and make up for that one. We still won the series in that time that he was there.
I think it's probably an underrated aspect of his game as well, his defense, because he is so hardworking and also has that X factor in attack that, you know, we all focus on that as the fans. But I do agree with you, man. Defensively, he's been very good since he returned, and also shifting into the centers. So instead of, you know, the winger kind of reacting to what the center does, he now makes the key decision. And he makes it more times right than not. He's been awesome. My 1 point's Bo Fermor. Scored a try, 40-plus tackles. We now know he was playing through injury with that bruised kidney. An absolutely beast game there by Bowie. And, I thought he was sensational. Look, I do just want to give a quick shout-out, though, to a couple of other players, just because, you know, it was such a big game. Sure. So if I can quickly, I'll just say a couple names. Shout out to Olofiona Kanprera, Brian Kelly, Phillip Sammy, Jaden Campbell, Kieran Form, Rocky Fodawaker, Sam Barrels, Aaron Clark, David Fitter, Bo Fermor, Cleese Haas, Chris Randall, Isaac Liu, Jamin Joloff, Josiah Puhulu, and Keenan Palacy didn't even play, but shout out Keenan as well. That's how good this performance was.
You know what? And also shout out to Tanner, because he's also on the list there as well. Yeah. So
yeah. Shout out every single person that's ever wore the Titans jersey, except for Scott Prince, because he's a Bronco.
It was our old boys' day. It was our first ever old boys' day in club history, which was amazing. And you never, as Sammy V's dad, who I speak to, he was saying, you never doubt a team. You never bet against a team on old boys' day. And this was our first one. Obviously, guys, we are a new club, yeah? So it's very difficult for us to have ever had an old boys' day. Like Dolphins, they can't have an old boys' day right now unless it's for the Q Cup, the Host Plus Cup and stuff. You know, give it 15, 20 years. Then they'll start having it. And it was so good to see. Like, I ran into Birdie after the game. I ran into a good friend of mine, Lukey Dougie, Luke Douglas. You know, there was Ben Ridge that I saw there. You know, Presto was there. He just wasn't in the photo. And there was just a whole range of people that have played for the club over the years that it was so good to see. So I will say, I'm not a big fan of Scott Prince right now, but I will say that it's probably not the best of look as well to be a part of the old boys' day as you're the Broncos women's head coach, and it was against the Broncos, if you know what I'm saying. So I do kind of understand that, even though I'm not a big fan of the way that he words his career with the Gold Coast and the public light right now. But at the end of the day, it was just really, really impressive to see that for this team, we were able to really turn up and absolutely whoop the Broncos for our second highest score ever, mind you. Just want to put this out there. Our second highest score ever, that was. People forgetting. Yes, we beat the Warriors 66-6. This is our second highest score ever, and we scored 46 points to 18. So get around the boys.
Mate, it was spectacular. We're bringing up those images on screen for those that are watching with us on YouTube. So let me see.
That's right. I ran to Bowie Falloon as well. I ran to Bowie Falloon over at Rabban Town Centre as I was having dinner.
Yeah. So there's Bo Falloon there. There looks to be a Giants player that I'm not familiar with. He's got the Giants shirt on next to Bo. Nathan Peets, Keegan Hipgrave, Cody Nelson, Chris McQueen, Anthony Lafranchi, Luke Douglas, Ben Ridge.
Ash, you know what really disappointed me on the day? After the game finished and I was at the back, I ran into Ash Harrow, but unfortunately he was on the phone. And obviously we recognised each other and we said hello and how we're doing, but he couldn't really talk for long. And I was like, damn, you know, Ash Harrow is one of our most famous, like our most successful players. And I would have loved to have more of a chat with him, but unfortunately he wasn't on the phone. He had to get out of there. But, you know, it's just such an amazing experience seeing all these guys. And as you guys know, Buff, Anthony Lafranchi, he works with the club. He's a big part of the club. So you'll see him every single week. He's involved in the everyday process of the club very, very intricately. But yeah, great looking at that photo.
Yeah, Ash Harrison, I met him when I was 17 as well at a petrol station of all places, BP. Ormo or something, and yeah, he was super nice and super cool.
By the way, how good does Birdie look? The grey hair suits him, I reckon. The grey hair, yeah. The long hair, grey hair suits him.
Mate, we've got Greggy Bird. We've got Matty Schrammer, underrated hooker. We've got Matty Rogers there. Morgan Boyle. We've got Tyrone Roberts, Chris Walker, Dale Copley, Anthony Don, Mark Marcello, and Luke O'Dwyer. So I can almost name everyone in the...
there's a couple a few people have struggled to remember. With that being said, obviously they are part of our club. We'd love them nonetheless. But I will also say, if you guys don't know, Donny also works. I'm surprised Corey Thompson caused it wasn't in that photo because he also works with this club at the moment in a similar role to what Aaron Booth used to work in. Yeah. By the way, I found out Booth still works the club, just not as heavily because he's with the RLPA. But also Anthony Don, he works up in the, I think it's the Top Sport Lounge. So if you're ever in that Top Sport Lounge, he's doing a lot of stuff there. He's a good bloke. I've had him on a podcast before. And actually, maybe we could get him on this podcast at some point.
Yeah, that'd be cool to just ask him about his old Titans experiences, tell us some funny teammate stories. That would be a cracker episode for the off season. Old Boys Day was absolutely fantastic. No doubt in the future we'll have an old Women's Day or old Girls Day. I'm not sure what they're going to call it, but let's get to our women's 3-2-1s. I'll let you go first with your 3 points. Who is going to get it?
It's going to go to Chapa. It's going to go to El Chapa. By the way, you came up with that nickname, and I heard on the commentary they used El Chapa as well on the commentary. So they're stealing. They're listening to the podcast. Just stealing our nicknames to the women. You came up with that one. Just saying, you should have copyrighted it. But three tries in this game. She ran for 256 metres with 37 post contacts. She had 3 line breaks, 5 tackle breaks, had an offload. And unfortunately, on the defensive end, she wasn't exactly the most unbelievable. Did not make a tackle, but missed 3, which is definitely something that we've got to clean up there. I know she's a good defender. That's just a little bit of an off stat there. It's got here 0 tackles made, so I don't know. But you can't go past that absolutely blistering attack there from Jamie Chapo. She was absolutely phenomenal.
Absolutely. She gets my 3 points as well for basically all the same reasons. Dominant performance, huge meters, broke tackles, scored tries, did everything and more you want from a center. My 2 points is going to go to Loza Brown. I thought, again, she just controlled the game perfectly. Basically went over it in the recap. I just thought she calmed everything down, got us all back on track, and then managed that momentum perfectly once we got it. She was brewing in halfback, and she is going to get my 2 points. Who's going to get yours?
Yeah, my 2 points is also going to go to Lauren Brown. When you're looking at Dally M points and whatnot, they usually do look towards more of the spine. They do usually look more to those key playmaker roles, which is why you've seen her getting that 6 points, on both those weeks. I definitely thought the first week, this week, I would have thought Chapo, but with that being said, I can understand. She's still got a line break. She's got 2 line break assists, a try assist in this game, 93 running meters, and was obviously our predominant kicker. And made 16 tackles, which is the 2 missed. So, yeah, she was a fantastic role model in this game again. And Loza Brown gets the 2 points. And she's just unbelievable. You can't stop her.
Yeah. The other thing for Lauren is she can genuinely nail sideline conversions, which a lot of NRLW players from other teams you watch, they're sometimes not even making the distance from the sideline. Whereas Lauren just nails it. And she kicked, I think, 4 from 5. So, brilliant in that area as well. My 1 point was really hard, man. I'll be honest. I wanted to give it to Lily Rose Colk, but in the end, I saw in the stats, and I don't have them in front of me, but I saw Georgia Hale had 180-ish meters and 40-plus tackles with no misses, and I couldn't go past that. So our skipper, Georgia Hale, gets my 1 point, mate. Who is going to collect yours?
I can definitely see where you've gone with that, but I have gone with Ivania Politi for my 1 point there. Scored a try in this game. Also ran for 238 meters with 56 post contact. So a very, very similar game there in regards to Chapo, just with the 2 less tries. She had the 1 line break, 1 line break assist, 3 tackle breaks and offload, and also 3 tackles made for no missed. So I thought that Ivania Politi, again, showing some real stellar form right now and definitely deserves that 1 point. I do think that Georgia Hale deserves that shout-out. I do think that you are seeing some really good player, Lily Rose Colk, as you did say. And I think that Shannon Marto, again, ran for 169 metres with 70 post contact and also made 35 tackles for the 5 miss. But, yeah, like you said, 43 tackles, no miss for Georgia Hale. It's fantastic. And I also will say, Danny Parisi's having a stellar year as well. 15 tackles, no missed. and was running for 115 metres, and she's off the bench there. So I'm telling you right now, we've got a really, really good team here. A lot of everyone deserves a shout out. But yeah, I will give Ivania Politi my 1 point.
That's a good call, man. Just to quickly circle back to the recap, I thought when Parisi and Laika Clark came off the bench, they brought a ton of energy as well, which did help switch the momentum. And that's rare because we know Shannon Marteau and Jess Elliston are so dominant, but it was actually our bench forwards that really took over once they came on. So that was awesome as well. On to our affiliates recap, mate. The Titans are just humming at the moment, and I'll let you go first with the Tweed Seagulls. Let everyone know how they went, where they moved to on the ladder, and most importantly, how our Titans went, please.
Yeah, Sam said I stitched you up last week when I was on at the game. He was like, oh, wow, you took over the Carter Gordon tweet at Seagulls. And I said, yeah, because he tried to stitch me up. That's why. But look, yeah, the tweet at Seagulls, they defeat the North Devils 26-22, which is absolutely huge. I'm telling you, the tweet at Seagulls are looking exactly like the Gold Coast Titans right now in regards to this ladder push, this late season, you know, strut is what I would say. So you've seen Tony Francis have one try, 162 metres, a try assist, a line break assist, a line break, two tackle breaks, no missed tackles, and only the one error. So really, really good performance there from Tony Francis on return. You got Carter Gordon, his first try. Didn't he score a try last week?
No, he scored first in this game. I think he scored one last week. Okay. This one he scored within 2 minutes. So he was electric.
Okay, yeah. So he scored the first try of the game. That's two tries in two games, though, mind you. 110 metres, one line break assist, a try assist, 10 tackles for no miss and an error, which is really, really good stuff there. You got Tommy Weaver, 66 metres for a line break assist, two try assists, and also 14 tackles, just the two missed. Keenan Palacia, 74 metres of prop for 147 metres, 39 tackles and one miss. That's really good because that's the really thing we want to emphasize with Keenan, that defensive, you know, tackling ability, needs to not miss those tackles. And that's a really good start there with those 39 tackles for the one missed. Jacob Alekwinki, he got a back row for 80 with a try, 167 metres, 16 tackles, just the one missed. What does the FDO mean?
One forced dropout from the big fella. He's gone full weight Graham mode, taking the kicks on fifth at the back row. I like it.
He's unbelievable, Jacob Alekwinki. He's unbelievable. Big buck, Papua New Guinean international. Then you got Isaac Fasu Malawi, 28 minutes from the bench with 78 metres, 18 tackles for zero miss. In 28 minutes, that's actually impressive stats. In 28 minutes to run for 78 metres and 18 tackles for no miss. That's actually pretty impressive stats. So didn't get much time to play, but he made what he did worth it.
Yeah, definitely. I think for Isaac there, that's a typical quality over quantity performance. Limited minutes, but huge impact. And all of our Titans players played so well. Just to remind people as well, North Devils are second in this competition. So it's the equivalent of beating the Penrith Panthers in the NRL right now. And we made it, well, I won't say we made it look easy, but to get into a battle with them and win by 4 points is absolutely incredible. On to our Ipswich Jets. They defeat the Mackay Cutters 30-12. Now, that is a huge victory for the Jets. That is absolutely massive. To beat a side above them on the ladder by 18 points is absolutely incredible for where they're at as a club. Jalen DeGroot played fullback with 223 metres. He had two line breaks, six tackle breaks, and no errors. Brilliant performance there by our young gun. Kenny Mamalo from the wing, he broke a tackle, ran 166 metres, but did have the two errors in his game. Joey Stimpson, 77 minutes at prop. Almost played the whole game. 24 runs for 244 metres, 4 tackle breaks and 27 tackles for 3 missed. Huge game by Joe. Absolutely big huge. Oh, big Stimmo. And this is the sort of performance, keeping in mind he is off contract into this year, that will see him re-signed. Ryan Foran, he played 80 at back row. He had 70 metres, 1 tackle break, 29 tackles for 2 missed. And Arama Howe, the big fella, is back. He wasn't his best last week. Played 71 minutes this week, scored a try, had 137 metres, one line break, one tackle break, 3 offloads, and 16 tackles for 4 missed. So some huge performances by our Titans in reserve grade Blades. The only question left, who is your affiliate Titans player of the week?
You go with your one first because I'm going to transition mine into the ladder. So you go with your one first.
Oh, I am going to go Keenan Palacia. I thought that we could have seen him go back to reserve grade level and kind of drop his head and kick stones a little bit. Instead, he played 74 minutes in the front row against the second ranked team in the North Devils, which have a powerful forward pack. And he also had the most tackles in that game of anyone with 39 for just one missed. And then he also mixed that well with 147 meters. So for me, Keenan Polisea is my affiliate player of the week. And it's also nice to see him get that recall onto the bench. I think he earned it with that huge performance, mate. Who stood out the most for you?
I think for me, it's going to go to Big Tone. Big Tony Francis coming back from injury. Obviously, the last time he was playing was the Broncos game at Suncorp Stadium. Funny he comes back on the same weekend that we beat the Broncos again. But a phenomenal performance there, coming straight back onto the wing, and just shows that, you know, touch wood doesn't happen, but if Lofty did go down or Jojo did go down, Tony Francis could seemingly just seamlessly come back into this team and really put on a show, man. So I really, really did appreciate the effort there of Tony Francis. And I think that I think that he'll play for Lebanon in the next World Cup. I do. I think he could be along on the wing alongside Jake Giras on the other wing. Because who else is there? Can you tell me another Lebanese winger that would take over Tony?
No, the only next best option would be Abbas Miski in the Super League, but Tony is ahead of him in my opinion. And if Tony doesn't represent Lebanon, then he could even represent Tonga. But I think we might even see Jojo get a call up for Tonga, which would be awesome as well. So if you guys are interested, if you guys are interested, in the offseason, we did do a podcast where we deep dove all of our players' rep eligibility and said where we might see them play this year. Some of it covers Origin, which has already gone and passed, but it could be a good one with internationals at the end of the year if you guys are interested in having a listen to that again. It was posted during this offseason, so I enjoyed that podcast.
Well, we'll definitely do that one again. Now, before we do move into the previews, just to quickly go over the ladder here, because, again, it is really getting down to the juicy stuff. We are really, really getting down to the juicy point here of the Host Plus Cup. So the Tweeder Seagulls, they currently sit in 10th position. Remember, a couple of weeks ago, they were down there in 13th. They've jumped up now. They are 3 points out of the eight still. Now, we are in round 21, round 22, round 23. There's 3 games to go. So we do still need quite a lot to go in our favour to get into the finals. And there is actually still a chance at a home final too. A very, very minuscule chance, but a chance nonetheless. So we're going to minus 59 points differential there. Tweeder on 20 points. The Magpies are on 20, but they're also below by about double minus. They're minus 115, right? So the Seagulls, this week will take on the Papua New Guinea Hunters, which is a really, really difficult matchup there in Papua New Guinea. But the benefit here is that Papua New Guinea sit in 7th position on 24 points. So we're on 20, they're on 24. We win this, we're within 2 points of the eight regardless. Regardless, we are 2 points within the eight. But we've only got the 2 games left, right? So huge game here. The Blackhawks, they have the bye. So unfortunately, we won't be able to jump them anyway. They're on 23. And the Wynnum Manly Seagulls, they're on 23 on 8 in 8th position. Minus 54, they play the Devils. So hopefully the Devils, they bounce back from their loss to us. They keep their record alive up there in 2nd. And Wynnum Manly could be on 23. The Hunters, we beat them. They're on 24. And we're within 2 of both those. And the Capras as well, they're 6th on 24 points, but unfortunately they have the bye. So realistically right now, actually, we probably aren't going to be playing a home final. We've got to look for that 7 or 8 position, and we just desperately need the Devils to beat the Seagulls and us to beat the Hunters, and we are on fire. Ipswich Jets, on the other hand, there's not really much to talk about here. They're in 14th position. They can't finish in last place, and realistically, they're not going to be finishing it above 14th. So effectively, their season finishes off in 14th place, but it's better than last.
100%, it's an improvement on their last 2 years, that's for sure. So don't forget, Saturday, 5 p.m. in Redcliffe, that's where our Jets will be playing. They will meet the Dolphins. Sunday, 3 p.m. in Papua New Guinea, our Tweed Seagulls will go over and meet the Hunters. You know what's funny about that, mate? Genuinely, like, Carter Gordon would be attracting a lot of views on the Q Cup at the moment, and people going to the ground to watch Tweed. I don't reckon anyone in Papua New Guinea would know who he is because they only love rugby league, not rugby union. For every other player there, they will be the superstars, and Carter will take a
back seat. You're right. But also, Papua New Guineans are so obsessed with rugby league that they know everything about rugby league. That not necessarily saying that a lot of their stuff is genuinely knowledgeable, and they're very, very biased in their love of the rugby league. But with that being said, they would have done a lot of research into watching Tweeder Seagulls, who they're about to play this week. They love their Hunters. It's a do or die game, 100%. So for both these teams, realistically, it's going to be a huge one.
Hell yeah. Carter Gordon, 3 from 3. I reckon he scores again. Excited to see Tweed win that game. Let's leave all the recap stuff in the past, guys, and we will look forward now to previews with our NRLW and NRL side. starting with our NRLW team. We are against the Broncos this Sunday at 1:45 p.m. at Totally Workwear Stadium, which is the Brisbane Tigers home stadium. And I'll kick us off with our preview here, and I'll get you to go first for the men's side of things. Last time we versed the Broncos, we beat them by a field goal at the Gabba, and it was a really close encounter. Lauren Brown's boot was the difference that day. But I do believe since that encounter with the Broncos, we have gone from strength to strength, and we did make it to a grand final, whereas I don't believe they even made the finals last year. If I'm correct, the Broncos, they missed. So
They played the Knights in Newcastle. Okay. Nee actually came on top of them. They lost 30-24. So if they had won that game, we would have seen them in the grand final. But no, they came fourth position.
Thank you for correcting that there. So my apologies. They did play finals last year with us. When we look at this year, we have started the year 2-0, and they have started the year 0-2. And that's despite them being favoured ahead of us in the premiership market. In the preseason. It doesn't make sense now. Now, in the opening two games, they are completing at 65% compared to our 85%. And I just think this is a game that if we set the tone with our defense early, that can really be our key to victory because it will make them feel the pressure. And I think that will make them complete in line with that, around that 65% mark. And we know our spine has the class to keep us up around that 85% mark there. I think the good news as well, we've shown against the Tigers, we don't have to absolutely nail the start and have a flawless start. We can adjust on the fly and make these adaptions or adaptations during games. So I think that's a really big positive in our basket. I just don't see enough points in them, and I see us scoring way too many. Now, I don't want to take too much away from their loss to the Roosters last round because the Roosters are a classy side, but they also lost to the Eels at Suncorp by 12 points. Now, by comparison, we beat the Eels last year 34 points to 12, and there's relatively similar rosters between the three sides still that I'm referencing in the Broncos, Eels, Titans. So with that evidence there, I just think we're too strong all over the park. I have us winning 13+. I just hope it doesn't get to full time and their coach, Scott Prince, regrets things. You know, just a loyal Titan. You'd hate to hear that he regretted to be with us. Hopefully we make him regret the day he signed as the Broncos NRLW coach and hand them a record loss or something awesome in this one, Blaze. Mate, you're going to the ground, which is bloody awesome to see. You're going to bring the drum, and how do you see this one playing out?
We'll probably bring the drum. That's definitely like a home thing for us, but we will be loud and proud just that nonetheless. We don't need a drum to be as loud as we possibly can be. Wink, wink, Roosters fans, take note. But yeah, look, I think that it's going to be a really good one for us. I am nervous a little bit that the Broncos are 0-2, meaning that for me, because it's such a short season, it's 10 games, right? I think this is do or die for them. I think if they lose this game, their season's done. I will point this out there. I don't see the Broncos making the finals or doing anything. If they go 0-3 and lose this game, potentially putting them into literally last place, I think that that would put us on 6 points. The Sharks by the Rays, actually a good game, that one, to be fair. The Knights by the Dragons, they'll probably push up to 6 points as well. The Roosters by the Tigers, they'll probably jump up to the 4 points. So you'll start to really quickly see the season get away from the Bronx. So that does worry me, especially with them being the home team. And this is actually a doubleheader as well. So the Cowboys, they play in the earlier game here in the women's game, and they play against the Eels. So 7th versus 6th there, Cowboys getting a surprise win. Now, I will say, just the last thing to say on the Broncos, yeah, they did lose 22-10 to the Eels. I do think the Eels are a better team this year, and I do think the Broncos are a worse-off team, so I can understand that. And then, obviously, they got thumped by the Roosters, which doesn't really matter too much because, yes, it is the Roosters. But the Roosters aren't the same team as well. They got a lot of injuries. They're not exactly as good as people would have expected them to be, I would say. But anyway, the Titans are a better team here. They've got a gigantic amount of Origin representatives and international representatives across the park. The players on our team, if they're not playing for Queensland or New South Wales, it's because they're playing for New Zealand. You know, it's because they're playing for a big country in the international scene that doesn't allow them to play in the Origin arena, i.e. Georgia Hale as a prime example there. It's absolutely ridiculous how much quality we have across our team. So, yeah, look, I think that we should be winning this game 13+. I will say that there is a bit of hesitancy, but I will say that we should win this game 13+ and really prove that we are. We never believed the Broncos were a bad team before this season started. When they were the favourites, second favourites, they were favouritism over the Roosters and the Titans. Two teams that I'm pretty certain last year clearly beat. Well, we beat them once, which is the only time we played them, and the Roosters cleanly beat them. And then, yeah, I just don't understand it. It never made any sense. Ali Brigginshaw has gone a couple of years past, I would say. I don't think she's as great as she once was. I'm confident we win this game. So, yeah, I'll go 13 plus. I say if women player of the match, I will look towards saying that, you know what, I will go with, I'm going to go a bit of an off-skew one here. I'm going to go Riley Jorgensen. I'm going to go Riley Jorgensen and have a really, really big game here. I don't think she's necessarily started off as crazy hot, maybe because she's come back from that injury in these opening two games. Mm-hmm. I think she'll turn up here and she'll get some really big tackles in, and she'll light up the scene like we all know she can.
Another consideration in this game is Brianna Clark, I believe her name is, the Broncos starting prop. I think she's played for the Maroons as well. Out. And, of course, if there's one thing you don't want to have against our NRLW side, it's a weakened forward pack. So I think we'll roll them up the middle. Now, in round one, we saw an Emily Bass hat trick. In round two, we saw a Jamie Chapman hat trick. Well, I think we're going to see an Ivania Politi hat trick in this game. So that's my bold prediction there. Imagine if we started... Georgia Gray, imagine starting in season 3 from 3 and having 3 hat tricks in the opening 3 games. That'd have to be a first in rugby league. Hopefully we can do it just to have that fun piece of history. But yeah, sounds like we're both going the Titans and we both think we can win by a solid margin, but you do raise.
Very quickly, ladder. We're first place, Sharks second place on 4 points as well. Third place, Knights on 4 points. And the Roosters are in fourth place with 2 points, equal to Raiders, Eels and Cowboys. That doesn't matter too much at this point of the season, but I just want to remind everyone, we are numero uno, come on.
Where are the Broncos on that ladder?
They're still running. They're 10 lengths behind the ambulance, mate. They haven't even gone out of the barriers. They're not even out of the barriers, mate. Get them out.
Well said. Let's move on to our NRLW preview and leave that in the past. You guys will see the thumbnail where it's got us with the sandwiches saying serving up beef, just to play on words and you know, a bit of banter there with Scott Prince given his recent comments with Fox Sports. Alrighty, let's go to the NRL preview. We are against the Sharks. We're at home Friday night at 6 p.m. And we are looking for 3 in a row, just like our women's side. We're looking for 3 in a row there.
Can you believe we are favourites? And we are 13-plus favourites by the bookies for this game, just mind you. 13-plus favourites.
When the Sharks game was still on after they'd won, which was on Saturday, we were the underdogs. And I said from that point, you know, we don't want to get into gambling or anything on the show, but I said at that point, like, if you are a punter, then you had to take us because we were going to move into the favouritism. And we continued to be favoured in that market. Look, we've already beat them in Coffs this year, right? I think the Titans are playing with an air of confidence we've not seen from them, particularly in these past two games in the second halves against the Dolphins and Broncos. So I'll let you give your preview first for this one. How do you break this one down for us?
Yeah, look, I'm actually really confident in this game. I will start off with a concern before I move into the positives, because there is a lot of positives, but also we're realistic on this podcast, guys, and I do want to tell you our thoughts and feelings. And if you disagree, comment in YouTube or Spotify and whatnot. If you agree, great, comment as well. I'm just a little bit concerned that was our grand final on Saturday. You know, maybe it's just because of our Titans history and because it's very difficult when you're a long-term passionate fan like we are. And you guys are, you always have that real hiccup on trying to get onto the we are a good team now, you know. And I had this, I struggled. So if you guys don't know, I'm a Manchester City fan. And I was a City fan well before we got the money because my middle name's Kipax, mum's maiden name's Kipax. Long story short, involved with the club very much before the money. Now, it took me a good, I would say, 6-7 years after we started winning Premier League titles for fun that I realized that we are a genuinely good team. We're not the city of old. And I compared that with the Gold Coast Titans here and saying, it will take me a long time before I really can, I'll use the word recover, from what our history has shown us, that we're not consistent enough to be up there with the big dogs. And that was what I kind of laid out going into that Broncos game. We proved it wrong there when we went on and absolutely whooped them. I can see it happening in this game too here against the Sharks. But yeah, I do have that concern. I will have that concern for a long time. That, you know, I still have that same mentality from before. So I just hope that wasn't the grand final for our team that you see from other clubs in other games. I hope that Broncos game wasn't our grand final. The positives, and these are the big positives, which is why it's going to lead me into a really big positive prediction, is that we did beat the Sharks a couple of weeks ago. It wasn't like we beat them in the first couple of rounds because we were on six at that point, but we beat them in this form. You know, we beat that Warriors 66-6. That's when we beat the Sharkies. We beat the Eels. You know, we're beating all these teams. So they're a part of this good little stanza here. So that's a huge positive in that one. We are at home. We haven't lost a home game in about four rounds now, four games. We beat the Bronx, we beat the Eels, and we also beat the Warriors. You know, the last game we did unfortunately lose there was the Rabbitohs, but that was a long time ago. So, you know, we're going four games in a row. We used to be known at Skill Park, not Seabus, Skill Park, back in 2010, 2009 or whatnot. It was the fortress. No one would ever beat us at Skill Park. It was known as a fortress back then. And then unfortunately, 2011, 2012 kind of happened, and then we went away from it. We need to bring that mentality back, because Seabus, when it is on fire, as you guys, if you were there on Saturday, know, or if you were listening at home, the momentum we were able to gather for that team, for our team, and I can tell you the boys all said this, and that's where I'll leave it, but they all said this, the momentum we were able to really drive behind them as they're walking back after a try and whatnot was that we just can keep going, and it's so loud and the way the stadium reverberates and whatnot. I'm telling you, it's a menacing atmosphere and we're on fire. And when if we win this game, it's just going to grow and grow and grow. And I'm telling you, we have the team to do it. They have got Blake Brayley into the seven. They have got Cameron McInnes into the nine, who hasn't played hooker for years. Jack Williams into the 13. I'm telling you, in every department of this game, we have the better player, in my personal opinion. And I think that even on the wings, Molitano's not playing. So Lorenzo must have gone and told his brother, Ronaldo, don't play because BKR got into me too much, so I'm not going to play in this game. I'm too scared. That's what's happened with Ronaldo. But Lofty and Jojo versus Sione Katoa and Samuel Stone Street, I give it to our wingers. The centers of BK and Filosami versus Jesse Ramian and Kyle Iro, I think that's a wash. I think you can make another for both those sides there. I say it's a wash, right? You go to the fullback, Keanu Kenny versus William Candy. The man on form right now is Keanu Kenny by a long way. He's one of the most informed, if not the informed player of the entire competition across the entire game of the NRL. The halves, Jaden Campbell 5'8 and Kieran Foran versus Atkinson and Blake Brayley. They don't have their star man, Nico Hines, who, mind you, we beat a couple of weeks ago when he was playing, and Aaron Clark embarrassed him. And I give that to our halves. I think that we've definitely got the better halves playing there. You go to our forwards, Mwaiki Fodawaker and Aaron Clark versus Royce Hunt and Oregon Kafusi. You can make an argument for short stints of Hunt, but I don't think starting is going to overtake Queensland representative for Mikey Potawaker and Aaron Clark, who got into the Sharks a few weeks ago. I genuinely give our front row forwards the battle. Sam Verrills is a pure hooker. McInnes was a pure hooker about 5-6 years ago. Not anymore. I give it to Verrills. Back row, Fafita and Cleese Haas versus Nikora and Wilton. I do give it to our back rowers. I know Nikora, he's on par-ish with Fafita. I still got Fafita above him. But I've got Cleese and Teague on a very similar level as well. So if you want to go with a wash, I'm okay. But I would still lean with us to the day. And the 13, I'm giving to Chris Randall over Williams every single day of the week. And then you go to the interchange. Again, Jimmy Joloff matches up absolutely with guys like Toby Rudolph and Thomas Hazelton. So does Josiah Pahulu, Kina Palacin, Isaac Liu against Burrell and Sia Sipatalikai. I'm firing. I'm saying Titans 13 plus. I'm saying Titans 13 plus, we'll give our finals hunt alive.
Actually, yeah, I'm feeling really confident as well, man. I think we win here for sure because the Sharks lose more than a touch without Nico Hines and now Braden Trindle. I think people are overrating Daniel Atkinson a little bit because he was able to get that win against the Storm at Amy Park when he was the only half on their team at that stage. But really, that was an outlier. That is an exception. That's not the expectation. I can guarantee you those same sides played again at Amy Park, let's say 10 times. That was the 1 out of 10 that the Sharks win with Daniel Atkinson there in the halves. So I do feel the Sharks are being overhyped or overbelieved in a little bit because of the fact that he is still there for them and people are overlooking who they're missing based on the fact they still have him. You think when we met them last time, we just lost to the Tigers and the Rabbitohs and we were coming down, right? We were on a decline in our season. And so were the Sharks realistically. Their form wasn't the best either. They were on a decline as well. The issue is, for the Sharks in this instance, and it's not an issue for us, we're improving. So instead of meeting them on the decline this time like we were last time, we're actually on the incline, and they're still on that decline. You know, they haven't fully recovered, really, you would say, from when we last beat them in Coffs. I know they've had a win or two since then, but they haven't looked the Sharks that we know at the start of the season, which everyone wants to believe they still are. I don't believe they are. They had won 9 in a row over us, and we'd never won at Coffs Harbour when we versed them last time. So everything was against us, and we still managed to win, right? This time we return home, where, as you said, we're 4 out of our last 5. We couldn't have looked any better in our last 2 games in terms of playing for the full 80 and playing for each other. Oh, God, now you're testing me.
Because you said 4 out of our last 5. So, was it Cowboys, maybe?
Yeah, Cowboys sounds likely.
You keep talking, I'll go find it.
Yeah. So I got that set off the NRL website saying it was 4 from 5. So it should be accurate there. Look, I just think that it's going to be much like this, like last week. You have a side like the Broncos that we meet that are in a decline. The Sharks are that side now. And I do see us being too strong with that home advantage. I think we've got the better form. I think we've got the better roster. I think we've got the better coach. I hope we've got the better fans, guys. Get down there. Get out to Cbus if you can for this one. We need you to keep our season alive. It is another do or die game, as will every game from this point basically be for us. So I am tipping the Titans. I will tip us to win this game by 10. I think that you can expect our outside backs to have another great performance. Jaden Campbell will be key. And I'm confident, man. I'm confident. Titans by 10 is my final prediction. And our last 5 home games are...
Yeah, so we were right. So it was obviously Broncos 46-18, 24-16 win of the Eels, 66-6 win of the Warriors. We lost 46-12 to the Rabbitohs there. We had a home game because of Suncorp for Magic Round, which was the Knights. So we removed that. But at Cbus, 20-18 of the Cowboys. And then we're going all the way back to, you know, our debatable loss against Melbourne Storm. So, we've got a really good record there at Cbus recently. And I will actually, while we're here, I'm going to tell you the ladder that we need this week. So we are in 11th position, guys, on 22 points. That's crazy. We are 4 points out of the 8 because the Dragons had a miraculous win against the Melbourne Storm. Ridiculous, right? First time in like 30 years or some nonsense down there in Amy Park. That hurts. So we play the Sharks. Assuming we win this game, obviously, yes, we want to win by a landslide. But it's actually not as important as you think right now because we have one of the better points differentials around the positions that we're looking at. Because we don't need to care about Manly at all. They're on 27 points with a plus 93. But who cares about that points differential? Because we don't have that draw, right? So we can jump them eventually if things really go to plan. But the Dragons are on 8th on 26 points, 4 points above us with a minus 90 points differential. We've already got a better points differential than them. The Dolphins, they're on 24 points with a plus 33. They're the ones to look out for. And the Raiders, they're on 24 with a minus 75. We're already above them. So, assuming we beat the Sharkies this week, we would then, right this very second, put ourselves up into 10th. We need Manly to beat the Raiders. It doesn't really matter who wins that game because then we can try and catch Manly. But Manly to beat the Raiders for us to jump up a spot. The Warriors to beat the Dolphins. And the big one is we really, really, really want the Bulldogs to beat the Dragons this week. We are desperate for the Bulldogs to beat the Dragons. We don't care by how much. We just want them to win because, as you guys know, we'd be 2 points out of the 8, assuming the Dragons lose and we win. Guess who we play next week? We play Wollongong. We play the Dragons in Wollongong. So that means that if we won that game, we would be above the Dragons too. And the only team we're going to be considering then is the Dolphins. So we're in a really, really prime position here, a really massive prime position to pounce. But we just need those 2 results to go our favour, realistically. Titans to beat the Sharks, Bulldogs to beat the Dragons. Then we play the Dragons. Next week, the Dolphins, they play the Bulldogs. So for the rest of the season, we're Bulldogs fans as well, mate. For the rest of the season, we're Bulldogs fans as well because they can be a huge help in regards to us getting into the top 8.
I am very short on time with a work function coming up tonight, Blaze. So I think we shelf the phone, the frontline section, and quickly go through and finish this show with a ladder prediction. So if you are live here on YouTube, you'll see it on screen. If you're with a podcast provider, we will talk you through it. What we're going to do is select essentially the favorites that are likely to win and the Titans in every game. And we'll actually go through and we'll see towards the end how this ladder might look. So this week we've gone with the winning sides being Storm, Titans, Panthers, Seagulls, Cowboys, Bulldogs, Dolphins, and Knights. They are all favorites. We haven't gone anything with an upset there. You'll also have to excuse my clicking in the microphone. Now, next round kicks off with Storm or Panthers at Bluebet. Won't matter for us. Let's say Manly beat the Warriors. We will say the Roosters.
Wow, they go from 7th to 3rd, mind you.
Yeah, it's crazy. The Roosters beat the Eels. The Bulldogs beat the Dolphins. let's say the Cowboys beat the Raiders, the Rabbitohs beat the Tigers, we beat the Dragons, and let's say, let's go Knights over Sharks, just because they still will be without Braden Trindle.
Round 25.
That moves us into round 25.
Fire it up!
Let's go. And at this stage, we're in ninth on equal points with the Dolphins. So let's say the Seagulls beat the Tigers, the Bulldogs beat the Warriors, the Broncos beat the Eels at Suncorp, the Panthers beat the Raiders, the Storm beat the Dolphins, the Rabbitohs beat, let's go Knights over Rabbitohs. I think let's say we beat the Roosters at home, and let's say the Dragons beat the Sharks. We have now moved into round 26, and we are in eighth. We are in eighth, and this is just based on every game going by 12 points, so we're not going to play with for and against, but we do still have a bit of a buffer over the Knights. Okay, let's start round 26. The Storm beat the Cowboys in Townsville. The Bulldogs beat the Seagulls at Accor. The Panthers beat the Rabbitohs at Bluebet. The Dragons beat the Eels. The Dolphins, this is a tight one, but let's say Dolphins beat Broncos just based on what we know at the moment. The Sharks beat the Warriors. We have the Knights. Let's say we win there. And the Roosters beat the Raiders at Allianz. We move into the final round of the season, and we are still in eighth place. Let's go through it.
Hold on one second here. I just want to point out for everybody, this is why I said, remember last week we had a phone the front line where someone said we can lose one more game of the rest of the season. As you can see here, going into the final game of the season, the Dragons can jump us still, the Dolphins can jump us still, and can the Knights still as well go down?
Yes, they could. They'd need to win by 40.
Yeah, so basically Dragons and Dolphins.
Okay, we hit the final round here, guys. The Storm beat the Broncos at Suncorp. The Eels beat the Tigers at Campbelltown. The Roosters beat the Rabbitohs at Accor. The Dragons beat the Raiders at Nostrada Jubilee. The Bulldogs beat the Cowboys at home. We beat the Panthers because they rest everyone in the final round as they are already guaranteed second place.
I'm going to break your heart here, and I'm going to say on our list right here, swap it. Put Panthers as the tip. Do it.
That means we're out of the finals. We need to win everything.
Go and have a look. I know, but go and have a look at the top of the table. It means the Panthers go first. So they're not going to rest Jack.
Yeah, good call. We need to win this game right now.
Swap it around right now. Yeah. And put Titans back there. We cannot lose the game.
Mate, great call there. You're absolutely spot on. So, yes, we need to beat the Panthers in the final round, guys. We need to. They can still get first. Though the difference of first and second for them, mate, isn't too much because either one is still a home final, thinking big picture, right? It's more so, do they need the $1 million? But if we win every game, guys, we will be versing Manly at Four Pines Park, where we've already beat them this year.
I want to stay here. That's actually really important because we've obviously seen Bulldogs fans of late. Bulldogs, I really hope that they win and they don't come fifth, because if we come eighth, I don't want to have to travel away as an away fan to Bulldogs in elimination final. That is dangerous stuff. So, I mean, I warn everybody as a Titans fan, do not be very careful coming to a Bulldogs away game for their first elimination final in 10 years.
Yes, no, that's a good call, man. So instead of phoning the front line there, guys, we've shown you the favourites winning each week from this point, and it means we must win every game. We must win every game. So it's not going to be easy, and it starts this week against the Sharks, but we've just shown you...
I will say, I know you're going to go, but like I will say, the Cowboys are on plus 29 there, and we were like on plus 9 or whatever, which means that because we were going by plus 12 the entire time, that was just how we were doing it, which means that we could still jump them as well based off of that if we had a couple of big wins, like against the Sharks, if we can put the Knights to the sword, even though the Knights usually do obviously get a good winner for us at McDonald Jones Stadium. The only two worries are the Roosters and Panthers, realistically.
Yeah, man, it's going to be a tough run home, but we can do it. And we need to believe and we need to get it done. All righty, guys, we are going to call the podcast there. We did see the phone, the front lines. We'll try to get to them next week. But we hope you enjoyed that little ladder run as well. We appreciate and love all the support. And we'll be back next week all the same to hopefully recap some more wins, preview it. And Blaze is opening up a sandwich shop where he's going to be serving some beef this week at Seabus. Scott Prince will be his first customer, Blaze. So congratulations to you on the sandwich stand, my friend. Over to you to farewell the show.
and Shark Fin Soup, son. I already had one, and I want to go back for seconds. No, really appreciate all the support that you guys do show. A whole heap of you guys keep coming up to me at games, saying you listen to the podcast, you see myself and Clarky around. So we both really do appreciate that. Get out there Friday night. It's going to be huge. We've got 15 tickets to give away for the Titans vs. Sharks game on the Frontline Instagram page. So go give that a follow. Hit that thumbs up button. Subscribe. Zing. Get the Titans going. Zing. We're going to fire up some this weekend. Get a couple more wins. And as you can see, our blood's pumping right now, son. We can smell the blood in the water. We're coming for that final spot. It's a chance. Let's fire up. Let's fire up. Come on, Titans. And also the Dogs this week. Zing.
Zing. Zing.